God's glory. We will see His glory. We will not give up. We will not give up. We will see His glory. We will believe. For He has said it, and He will do it. He has said He will do it. Don't be afraid. Don't get worried. Just pretend you are mad. Pretend you are a fool. Pretend you don't think. I can't think far. Pretend you can't think far. You can't think madness. Pretend I can't think far. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just marching around Jericho because God has said it. And I know in due course, if I don't give up, I will achieve. How can you say you are sleeping somebody in the same room? You are not married on the same bed. And you tell me nothing happened. You are a joker. Both the lady and the guy, they are jokers. Don't know what they are about. If he's a pastor, he's a joker. Sexual sin is never an accident. Something is about to happen. A change is coming. It is settled in the spirit. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. He hasn't entered the heart of man. What God has prepared for those who love Him.
And begin to pray in the spirit for some few minutes. Go Bahata Yandala Bahatosi. Ibarabaya Balabababa. So Mahata Yandi the Bahat. Tomahani Yandala Balabasu. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to your name. We give you praise. Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity you have given us to come and listen to your word and to have fellowship with you and with one another. It is my prayer, Lord, that even as your word of righteousness is coming, you will help us to open our hearts for your word. Help us, O God, to submit to your word and let your word catapult us into our place of destiny. We thank you that you are here and you are with us. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We give God all the glory for what He's doing in our midst. And day in, day out, how He's watching over us and feeding us and urging us on and working in and on us. This morning I want us to look at building with gold. Building with gold. You know, last week we talked about, will your building stand? That was a question. And we looked at the foundation, proper foundation of any building that is for God. The building of our lives, of our ministries. And today we are looking at building with gold. God is interested in the materials that we use to build. As much as He's interested in building according to pattern, He's also equally interested in the materials that we use in His building. So, in the Bible, God is very clear on the kind of materials that He uses for His building. Anytime He gives an instruction to build, He also specifies the kind of materials that they must use to build. And I want us to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, going to 15. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 15. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid a foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So, when we come to God, the foundation that God lays in our lives for our eternal salvation is Jesus Christ. But God wants us to build on the foundation. That is why he says that no one can lay any other foundation. But God is not satisfied with just foundation. We must build on the foundation. And that is where the materials that we use in building also count. God is not against us building. In fact, he's not against us working. He said we should work out our own salvation. We didn't work for the salvation. We didn't do anything to be saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of your works, lest any man should boast, but by the grace of God. Ephesians 2:8-9. So we didn't do anything to get our salvation, but we must do everything to work it out. The working out of the salvation is our responsibility, and the getting of the salvation is God's responsibility. Even that one, it is by grace through faith. Grace on God's part, faith on our part. But after we have become born again, that is when God wants us to work it out. So God is not against works. He is not against works. He is only against works that come before or outside of rest. When Adam was created, Adam was created on the sixth day. The first day Adam lived as a human being was the seventh day. That was the day of rest. The day that God sanctified and declared as holy, and the day of rest, was Adam's first working day. So he started his work in rest. So by that, anything that he does, any effort that he puts into making sure that he carries out God's instruction, everything is done on the premise of rest. That is what God wants us to do. When we come to Christ, he said, come unto me, all you who are tired and weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But then he says, take upon you my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. He says, come unto me, I will give you rest. But then he talks about a yoke, a burden, which means that there is a yoke and a burden after we have entered into his rest as in salvation. And that yoke and the burden is our effort that we put into working out our salvation with fear and trembling. That is why I said we must build. And Paul was giving us an analogy. He said he compared us to buildings and all of us to builders. And he said, the foundation has been laid already, Jesus Christ. But you have the right to use what materials that you want to use in building. He's talking about your Christian life, talking about your ministry, your life, your destiny. You have the right to use any materials to build. And he said, you can either use gold, silver, precious stones, or you can also use wood, hay, and stubble. And God will not stop you from using any material to build. What God will do is that at the end of the day, he will come and just set your work on fire. And automatically, if your work has been built of gold and silver and precious stones, it's going to stand. If your work was built with wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be burnt. So God leaves that choice to us. It depends on us. But I want to give you a background of materials in the Bible. Come to Exodus 5:18. God is very interested in materials that we use to build. Because your materials will determine whether your building will be of sound quality. Whether your building will stand or not, it is determined also by the materials that are used to build. Exodus 5 verse 18. Talking about the people of Israel when they were in Egypt. The kind of work that they were doing. Therefore, go now and work. For no straw shall be given you, yet you shall deliver the quota of bricks. This was when Moses appeared before Pharaoh and demanded that God said he should release them to go to the wilderness and hold a feast for him. And Pharaoh was angry and he said that they should not give them straw anymore, which means that they were using straw, and the straw they were using the straw to make bricks. And the bricks were supposed to be used to build cities for Pharaoh, Ramses and Fitcom, which means that the material they were using was bricks and straw. Now, come to Genesis 11. Genesis 11, verse 3. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had bricks for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. Now, this was talking about the Tower of Babel, and he was showing us the materials that they used for the Tower of Babel. You see, the Bible is very consistent. When you see bricks, straw, you see what we are talking about. You see, we are talking about the flesh, talking about the natural things, talking about the temporary things. You know, because the Tower of Babel too, they were building and they were using bricks. Bricks are man-made. They are man-made. They are stones that have been worked on, man-made. You know, and then they used asphalt also. Now let's come to Exodus 20 and see what God told them. God told them something. Exodus 20 verse 25. It says, and if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. For if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. See, here God was telling them that I don't want bricks. I don't want you to build my altar with stones that have been worked on or hewn stone. And that was for the altar. He said, don't build the altar with natural stones. Stones that are natural. You have not cut them to shape or cut them to size. Just build them with natural stone. But then when you go to 1 Kings, where Solomon was building the temple, he built the temple with costly stones, with large stones, and with hewn stones. In fact, in Solomon's building, there was no noise in the temple. All the stones were worked upon in the quarry. And so there was no lifting. No, you didn't hear the sound of tools in the temple because all the stones were worked on in the quarry. Now, all these things show us that God is very much interested in the materials that we use to build. And it's very important. So we should always ask ourselves, are we using quality materials to build? And we can build according to gold. We can build with gold. The only problem is that to build with gold, you must have a certain kind of mindset. Because gold is, number one, rare. Number two, it is expensive. You don't just stumble upon gold. It means it requires hard work. That is why many Christians settle for buildings with wood. Wood is common. It's also cheap. You can just build with wood, and in a matter of some few days, you are done. If you want to build with hay and stubble, in a matter of some few days, you are done. But if you want to build with gold, you have to dig deep and go down. It takes a longer time, number one. Number two, it also takes hard work. I've already explained that hard work is permitted after we are entered into rest. That one is not against God. God is not against that one. Hard work, working hard, making effort. He said, make all effort. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, brotherly kindness. Then to that one is a charity. He said, work on it, add to it. So we are going to look at how we build with stone. The reason why the Bible says Bible talks about gold, silver, precious stone, is that even when it comes to using proper materials, the degree of the manifestation will differ from one Christian to the other, depending on many things. The good seed that fell on the good soil produced three manner of crops, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. So you can have a 30-fold return on your crops. You can have 60-fold return, 100-fold return. God's plan for us is to be a 100-fold person, 100-fold Christian. But there are some Christians who attain 60, others 30, others 100. And there are some also who will not build with precious stones at all. They will just be building with wood, hay, and stubble. They will just be content to be vessels of clay and wood. And some will say, no, I want to be a vessel of gold and silver. I want to be a vessel of honor. And all these vessels, they are in the same house. You see, in a great house, you have various vessels, some of wood, some of gold, some to honor, some to dishonor. So in a church, you have many kinds of Christians, some who are building with gold, some who are building with gold, and it looks like they are going the extra mile. Looks like they are doing extra work. They are carrying extra burden. And there are some also who are taking it very easy, building with wood, anything goes, you know, just relaxing and enjoying it, building wood. But the test comes, the test, the sort of building you are building will be seen when it is tested. When the rubber meets the road, that is when we will see, like when the bridegroom tarried and it kept long, all the virgins slumbered and slept. Then at midnight a voice cried, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go forth to meet him." That was when people began to acknowledge that the wise virgins had taken the better step. When they were carrying extra load of extra oil, their colleagues thought that they were taking too much on themselves, and they were taking this thing too seriously. But when it got to the time where it was needed, they said, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out." But at that time, it was too late, because the extra oil, it is not for free. You have to buy it. If you want to build your Christian life with gold, it is not free. You have to. There's work to do. You have to buy it. Now, I'm going to go straight into what it means by building with gold because of time. But let me tell you this. There was this man who asked a certain man to build houses for him. And he had been sending money from abroad for the man to build houses for him. So the man built three houses for him. Then he asked the man to build a fourth house for him. Now, the man who was outside the country, this is what was going on in his mind. In his mind, he was saying that this man has been building buildings for me, and he has built these three buildings for me. I have not rewarded him adequately. So in my mind, this fourth building, I will give it to him, but I will not tell him. I will allow him to finish building, then I will just surprise him by giving him the keys. Then in Ghana here, that man was also thinking in his mind, "I have built three buildings for this man. He has not given me anything. And now he says I should build my fourth building. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to use inferior materials, cheap materials, to build the fourth building so that I can pocket some money, because I've been a fool for far too long. This man has cheated me for all this while." So the man sent the money for the building, and this guy who was supposed to build pocketed some of the money, and he bought inferior materials. So if it is 20 bags of cement, he will just use 10 bags. Then he will keep the money for the 10 bags. So the building looked very nice, but it was weak in strength. So here comes the man from abroad telling the man that, "Oh, it's a nice building." Then he said, "You have built three buildings for me, and I've not been able to reward you adequately. So this fourth building, I'm giving it to you." And he handed the keys over to the man, and the man broke down and started crying. And this other man thought that the man was weeping tears of joy. He didn't know it was tears of anguish and gnashing of teeth. Because if I had known that this building was going to be mine, I would have used the best materials to build. Do you know that
Noah's ark was built for Noah and his family. Even though God said, make an ark, he said, make an ark for yourself. Even though God told him to do the make the ark, it was to save Noah himself and his family. So there is a reward in building with gold. Many believers are like, oh, if it is heaven we are going to go, I'm saved, I'm born again. Why should I worry myself to do or go the extra mile to do this and to worry myself and to do go here and to sacrifice and to do all those things? Because I am saved. And by being saved, I have a place in heaven. But God is a wise God. If there was no reward in building with gold, you will not see in the Bible certain things, for things like, let no man take your crown. Let me read some scriptures to you. I don't know, but you see, why is God so much concerned about we continue to the end? He said, he that endures to the end shall be saved. If it was all about, oh, being born again and becoming a Christian, God wouldn't have given us those instructions. It means there is something bigger and higher at stake. When you are in the flesh, you are in this body, you don't value certain things like a crown. When we say a crown, you are like, what is a crown? If I don't wear a crown, what happens? But the crown is just a symbol of something greater in the spirit. When Jesus Christ comes and he sets up his kingdom on this earth and the saints are being rewarded, you will see some people who are giving more authority than others. You will see people giving 10 cities to rule. People, and now we may not appreciate it because we are in the flesh, because we cannot equate it to bread and butter, you know, or to food and drink. You know, so we can't, but when we leave this body, the things that appeal to our spirit will be different. So in the Bible, Jesus Christ, God always encourages us to move on. And there's reward for those who overcome. In Revelation, he said, to those who overcome, I will give this, I will give that, I will give them access to the tree of life, I will give them the healing manna, I'll let them sit on the throne of my Father. Why was he saying all those things if there was nothing at stake? Then he also warns us that make sure you don't fall short. In Romans 8:13, he said, if you live by the Spirit, if you live in the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. Hallelujah. That is Romans 8:13. Then Philippians 2:12, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So if there's nothing to be afraid of, why do we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling? If there's nothing to be afraid of, why do you have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling? In 1 Peter 1 verse 5, 2 Peter 1 5, it says, we must make every effort to add to our faith. Make every effort. Make every effort. If there is nothing at stake, why should you make every effort? You see, there are two classes of Christians. There are Christians who are barely living, and there are Christians who are overcomers. You can either belong to the overcomers, or you belong to those who are barely making it. And God always encourages us to move to the level of the overcomers. Because it is overcomers who are going to receive the prize. Let me tell you, the overcomers are the ones who are going to enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. Not every believer will enjoy it. It is only the overcomers who are going to enjoy it. Because the marriage supper of the Lamb is for the bride of Christ. And not everybody will qualify to be part of the bride. Look at all the parables of Jesus. He said, a certain king organized a party for his son and he invited many people to the party. Then they didn't go. Then he sent his servant and said, go to the streets and gather anybody that you can get and bring them here. Then they brought all of them there into the hall where they were having the wedding. Then the Bible says, then the king came to the hall. Now, was he not the one who said they should go and bring anybody? So they have gone to bring anybody. But he came to the hall and found somebody who was not wearing a wedding attire. And he said, how did you come in here without a wedding attire? Matthew 22. The Bible said he was speechless. They said, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. If there is nothing to lose, then why would he come again and insist on wearing the right attire? Which means that the fact that you are born again is not enough. It is just a foundation. If somebody gives you a house and you go and the house is just at the foundation level, can you live in the house? You can't. It's a property, but you cannot live in it. So the buildings we are presenting to Jesus, to God, must have the foundational right, but it must also have the superstructure and the roof. And that is why he said we should build according to God. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, he warned the church of Ephesus. He said, look, repent and remember your first works. Otherwise, I will come and take away your lampstand. He said, repent. If there was nothing to lose, why would he bother himself to tell them to repent? It means there is something at stake. Not your eternal salvation, but there is something even much more important at stake. Your place in eternity is at stake. Your rewards in heaven is at stake. Your victories on this earth is at stake. If you stay at the level of baby Christianity, you are going to live a Christian, born again Christian, but defeated. You are going to be defeated. Even in this world, the devil will defeat you and make a slave out of you. So it is better to always aspire to build with God. In John 15 verse 6, Jesus Christ said, those who don't bear fruit, he said, I will cut them away and I will put them into fire. Those who bear fruit, I will prune them. That's the first one. Those who don't bear fruit, he said, I will cut them and I will cast them into fire. Some of these things must help us to sit up and think correctly, because some of us have been wrongly taught. We have been wrongly taught. We have been given certain messages that if we don't take care, even our eternal destiny will be in jeopardy. Hallelujah. So we must move on to inherit the kingdom. Do you know those who are going to be raptured? They are those who belong to Christ. And I know that not every Christian will be raptured. Not every Christian. Bible says those who are Christ, who are for Christ. And if I'm to go into the scripture, you know the meaning of who is for Christ, because the Bible explains itself. Now come to Galatians chapter 5. Let me just give you this, then I can move on. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 24. Now put your hand in Galatians 5:24, then also open to 1 Corinthians 15. Galatians 5:24. I just want us to read the two together. So 1 Corinthians 15, 21 to 23. It says, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. All shall be made alive. Here he's talking about the fact that all shall be resurrected. We shall all go and meet Christ. But continue. Let's continue. You will get it in context. He said, but each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruit. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. When he said those who are Christ, it means those who belong to Christ. It's an apostrophe S. Those who are Christ. Those who are Christ. Those who belong to Christ. Okay. Then let's compare with Galatians 5:24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So now, if I say that not all Christians will be raptured, you can take that scripture and compare. That is why we must aspire to, that is why there are all these warnings and encouragements in the Bible to move on to a kind of Christianity that is gold. That is gold. Also, people who build with gold are those who enter into sonship. Those who enter into sonship, they are the ones who build with gold. There are some Christians who are children of God, but others are sons. Some are children by birth, by the new birth. All of us are children by new birth. But when we grow to maturity, we enter into sonship where we are adopted by God as sons. And the context is like this. In the Jewish setting, when a child grows to 13 years old, when he's 13 years old, they conduct what we call bar mitzvah for the child, where you stand 12 years old, when you stand before a group of teachers and you recite the Torah. And when you're able to go through all that, now you are declared an adult. No woman should see your nakedness. Even your mother doesn't have the right to see your nakedness again after 12. That was what Jesus Christ was doing when they said they were all surprised, and they said that he answered their questions. You know, when they went to Jerusalem and they left him behind, and he said, I have to be about my father's business. That was what he was doing. But then when you get to the age of 20, at that time, your father will now publicly declare you. That's when, if your father is involved in the business, you now take part in the family business, and that you have been declared the heir of the business, that you are the one who is going to inherit the father. That is a son. So it's a stage from childhood to sonship. I think I've talked about that sometime back. But if you build with gold, it means you are on the path to sonship. That is when you are on that path where you get to a place where now you are filled with the fullness of God, where you have the backing of heaven. There are some believers who are citizens of heaven. There are some who are ambassadors of heaven. There's a difference between becoming a citizen of heaven and then becoming an ambassador. When Paul said, "For we are ambassadors of Christ," he was talking about every believer, talking about himself, that he is an ambassador of Christ. Because he was a high-ranking member, he had gotten to a point where he had the full backing of heaven. So there are a lot of incentives that God has given us for us to aspire to live the quality Christian life, to build with gold and not with wood, not with hay or stubble. Wood stands for the human nature. Hay also stands for things that are dead. They are dead. The Bible says the grass withers, the flower fails. But those who do his will, his word, but the word abides forever. The grass withers. So hay stands for things that are temporary. They wither. Stubble stands for refuse. Refuse. All those things, when you put fire to them, they'll be burned. But if you build with gold, fire will not burn gold. Now, let's look at what it means to build with gold. What it means to build with gold. Let us understand that God deals with us first from the inside. His workings in us are from inside to outside. So God targets your inside. God targets who you are before what you do. He's mindful of who you are first before he considers what you do. So he does his work into your being, your nature, knowing that who you are will affect what you do. When we say, "Who are you?" sometimes you may mention your name, but your name is not you. You say, "Who are you?" So, "I'm Joe." "Who are you?" "Oh, I am an accountant." You just told me your name and what you do, but you didn't tell me who you are. God is more interested in who you are than what you do. That You. Who are you? If I put you on a scale, how much will you weigh? Not what you do. Paul said, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, and I don't have love, he said, I am nothing. He didn't say I have done nothing. He said, I am nothing. I am nothing. That's one example. He said, if I have faith to remove mountains, and I have the gift of prophecy to understand all mysteries, and I speak with tongues, meaning the spiritual gifts, the three categories, vocal gifts, power gifts, and revelatory gifts. If I have all these things, I don't have love. He said, I am nothing. He didn't say, I have done nothing. I am nothing. So if they put me on a scale before God, I will weigh zero. So God doesn't judge who you are by what you do. He doesn't judge you by what you do. He judges you first by who you are. What you have allowed him to build in you, the inner work, that is what constitutes building with gold. The gold work is always on the inside. That is why in the tabernacle, gold was used to decorate the inner chambers of the tabernacle. The Holy of Holies, everything there was gold. The Ark of the Covenant was overlaid with pure gold. The holy place, everything was pure gold. The altar of incense, overlaid with pure gold. The table of shewbread, overlaid with pure gold. The candlestick, pure gold. Everything was pure gold. In fact, God instructed Moses to start building from the inside. So check Exodus 25 going. The first thing Moses built was the ark. Then he started building the furniture, piece of furniture, from the Holy of Holies to the holy place before he got to the outer court. Because God's major concern is the heart. That is why all the work that God will do in your life will target who you are. He will change you before then you can also change what you do. He said he puts the axe at the root of the tree, not the fruit, not the leaves, the root. Fundamental work. So when God wants to train you, God will first of all shape who you are. It is on the inside. God's training, God's dealing, everything targets who you are. What is not seen, that is where gold matters. The gold is always in the inside. Hallelujah. It's always in the inside. It's always in the inside. It is something on the inside, expressing itself on the outside. That is why many believers run away from God's training. But if you want to build something for God that will outlast you, that will attract God's glory, then you better put it in your mind that you must allow God to work on you from the inside. And so, building with gold will always come with a price. It will always come with a price because it takes longer to build with gold than to build with wood. Number two, gold, you must buy it. In the Bible, whenever you see gold, you will see something that is rare, that is expensive. Revelation 3, verse 17, the Laodicean church, he said, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire. Buy from me. Buy the gold. You will buy it. It means you will pay a price for it. It means you will go an extra mile for it. You will work it. Christianity is working in rest. It's not sleeping in rest. It's working. There's work to do. You must work it. The fact that salvation was given to you by God doesn't mean you just leave it like. No, you must work it. There must be a conscious effort to work it. Work it. Even Eden, which was perfect, God told Adam to work it. The Garden of Eden was created by God. And he told Adam, he said, tend it and keep it. If you work it, you keep it. If you don't work it, you won't keep it. Simple. So now, building with gold means dying. It means dying. Unless there is death, you cannot get the gold. And the death I'm talking about is not physical death, even though sometimes it can also be part of it. But I'm talking about dying to your selfish desires, dying to the world, dying to the flesh. If you want to build a goat, then there must be a certain kind of death. John 12:24, he said, except a grain of wheat fall down to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much grain. There is a certain death that you must die in order to get the gold. And I said, dying to your selfish desires, to the world, to the flesh. When we are able to do that, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will become jewels in the hands of God. We become jewels in the hands of God. We become vessels of honor, set apart for special use, for the master's use. The master will not drink from any vessel. He can use any vessel, but there are some vessels the master himself drinks from them. So they are kept somewhere. They have special protection because the master himself uses them. Let me tell you something. God can bless many things without inhabiting them. He can bless many things. You can have the anointing of God without his presence. You can have the power of God without his presence. He told Moses, he said, I will send my angel to go before you, but me, I will not go. He said, the angel, you can have him, but me, I'm not coming. And Moses said, if you are not coming, then forget it. We are not also moving. Because Moses was after the more important things. He said, it is your presence that counts. It's not your power. We love your power. But your power without your presence, then take your power. I'm saying that there are many things that God can bless, but he will not be in it. You have his blessing, all right. He can bless it, but he will not be in it. He will not be in it. For how many years didn't they go to the tabernacle without God in the Holy of Holies? The ark of God was not in the Holy of Holies, but they were going to the tabernacles, Moses' tabernacle, every day for 70 years. And there was no ark in the tabernacle. So what were they going to do? They were going to worship God. Did they have encounter with God? Yes. Why? Because God was blessing them. Their sins were forgiven because they would take their sheep and the priest would slaughter the sheep and perform all the ritual. And yet, God was not there. So, we must understand that. That is why God wants us to build with the gold and go for the presence. And the presence of God doesn't come by laying of hands. That one is the anointing. The presence of God is the nature of God. It's the glory of God. The glory of God is not seen, it's not the power of God. The glory of God is his nature. The fullness of God, the full weight of God. That one is the nature of God. That one is the presence of God. That one is inside. We don't feel the presence, we feel the power. The presence is inside of us. We know the presence. Be still and know I am God. The presence of God is relationship. It is glory. It's the ways of God, not the acts of God. The power of God is the acts of God, but the presence is the ways. Show me your ways. He said, show me your way. Then he said, show me your glory. Because the ways of God, they lead to the glory of God. That is the nature of God. Hallelujah. Building with God means choosing the will of God. Choosing the will of God. The will of God. There are two kinds of wills in this world. One is called His will. The other is called I will. His will versus I will. In fact, it's a book I've written, but I've not published yet. His will versus I will. The two trees in the garden represented His will and I will. The tree of life was His will. The tree of knowledge was I will. The I will was initiated by Satan when he rebelled against God. He said, I will also ascend above the congregation. I will exalt my throne. You know, the five I wills of Satan in Isaiah 7. Isaiah 14. Five I wills. The I will factor is what prevents us from releasing the glory of God and seeing the glory of God. So for God to work on you, God will deal with the I will. That is why it took one day to take them from Egypt, but 40 years to take Egypt out of them. Why? Because he was dealing with their I will. For them to come to a point where they will place their will under God's will. When you build with God, it means that you have chosen the will of God above your will. So believers who live according to their own will, they are building with wood, hay, and stubble, and their works will be burnt. But those who choose God's will are building with gold. Bible says, it said, don't love the world or the things in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they are not from the Father, they are from the world. Then he said, for the world and its lust passes away, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Whoever does the will of God will do it. You have to do His will to be in His will. We do His will to be in His will. Whoever does the will of God shall abide forever. He said, Matthew 7:21. Not anyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom, but whoever does the will of my Father in heaven. So he said, on that day, they will say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did you not cast out devils? Did you not do mighty works? Then you say, depart from me, ye workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. What you were doing, it was unauthorized. So we do the will. Now let me take you through certain things. The will of God I'm talking about. We have the general will of God. Then we have the specific will of God. Now, if you don't do the general will, you will never find the specific will. That's what I'm saying. We do the will of God to be in the will of God. Certain things have been clearly said in the Bible that this is the will of God. We do them, and as you do them, then you know His specific will. If you are not doing the general will, you will not know what He wants you to do specifically. People sometimes ask, what is God's will concerning this? What is God's will concerning this marriage, this relationship? What work does God want me to do? Where does He want me to stay? What does God... Those things are specific will of God. But those things are not the primary. The primary ones are the general will of God. Those ones you were filled before. If you do the general will, the specific will of God, He will show you. Examples of general will. 1 Peter 3:9-11. To be saved is the will of God for everybody to be saved. It is not His will for anybody to be lost. So that is one aspect of his general world. Number two, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. To be filled with the Spirit. He said, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Then he said, do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be being filled with the Spirit of God. That is the will of God. So, when you are saved and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are doing the will of God. Number three. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. To abstain from sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians 3:4-3. He said, for this the will of God for your life, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That is why if you are living in immorality, don't expect God to tell you who to marry or what to do. You will not find it. You will always make wrong choices if you live in immorality, because you are not doing the will of God. Then the next one is 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Be thankful. I mean, these things are clearly stated that they are the will of God for our life. When we do them, then it means we are doing the will of God. Then we can also be in the will of God. And then we can build with gold. Because to build with gold is to build with the will of God. Sometimes God's will for you may not be pleasant. That's why I said that building with gold is not cheap. Because God's will for your life may not be what you want. In fact, the flesh, the natural man, will never like the will of God. So there is always a struggle between his will and I will. Till we get to a point where the I factor is broken, then we place our will under his will. That is when the glory is seen. As far as the I factor is alive, there's no glory. It is I kabod. I kabod. Kabod means glory. I kabod means the glory has departed. So when the eye is attached to the kabod, there's no glory. So to see God's glory, the eye factor must be canceled. That is the cross. When the eye is canceled, it becomes the cross. So the point of conflict between your will and God's will is your cross. When he says, take up your cross daily, follow me, it means any point your will and my will meet and you take my will, you are taking your cross. That is why Jesus Christ, when he was in Gethsemane, it was a battle of wills. He said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass over me, if it is possible. And the Father didn't answer back, because as far as he was concerned, it was not possible. The Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. It was not possible for him to let the cup pass over him. So Jesus changed his prayer. People say that when you pray for a thing more than once, it's not. Jesus prayed 3 times for one thing, but he changed his prayer. He came back and said, Father, if it is not possible and I should drink this cup, let your will be done. That was when Satan was defeated. Jesus crushed Satan's head even before he went to the cross, because Satan could not put his will under God's will. He said, I will. But Jesus said, your will be done. And that was the point of departure. That was when the angels of God started jubilating, that we have gotten a man to place his will under God's will. Sometimes it's a struggle, but God will take you to a point where you can't help but to surrender to him. That is why sometimes there are crises in our lives. Sometimes all the persecutions and tribulations and troubles we go through, they are all aimed at our will, making sure our will is placed under his will. So God uses external pressure to bring you into alignment with him. sometimes, if that's the only option, I'm telling you, God can mess up your career to fix your character. If that's the only option, is God. If you put your hand in your life in God's hand, He can mess up your career to fix your character. If that's the only option. Why? Because of where He's taking you. Because of the destiny that you have is so great that God must fix your character. Otherwise, when He releases the glory, it will kill you. So He can mess up your career, mess up your future plan, everything, so that He can fix your character. Because character is more important to God than charisma. More important to God than the work of the ministry. What did Jesus do for God to say, "This is my beloved son"? No outward activity, but He had done a lot on the inside. No working of miracles, but He had done a lot. He had gone through the train of God to become the Son of God at 30 years. And God said, "This is my beloved son." Hallelujah. Now, building with God also means living a pure life as a Christian. A life of purity is a life of gold. 2 Timothy 2. Let me read this quickly. 2 Timothy 2, 20-21. I'm reading it from the Amplified Version so that things will be clearer. 2 Timothy 2, 20-21. It says, "So whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminations and corrupting influences, will himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work." If you want your life, your Christian life, to be gold, then you must live a pure Christian, a pure life. The life that stands before God is a life of purity. I've said that you can have the power without the presence. If you have the presence, you attract the power. But you can take the power and there's no presence. I remember clearly a dream I had some time ago where I saw this man of God ministering with power. I mean power, everything that we admire in ministry. Power, everything. Then, as I looked at the man of God, another man of God was standing behind me. Then he tapped me on the shoulder. Then he said, "Look closely at the man ministering." And I looked closely and I saw the front part of his navel. I saw that he was infested with maggots. And the maggots were eating him up. And he was fading, just fading. Then in the dream, there was a lady standing beside me trying to get my attention in the dream. Then the man of God said, "Do you know why this you are seeing this?" I said, "No." He said, "This man, the reason why the things is eating him is because of this." He said, "It's because of this. Because of the woman." God was trying to tell me that the way to the glory is purity. It's purity. People can have power without character, but the power will destroy them. You can have gifts without character, but the gifts will pull you down. You can be shot into the limelight with your gifts because a man's gift makes room for him, but you may not last with your character. Your character may not allow you to last. You may be like a shooting star. Like that. Then you are, before long, you are gone. Check anybody who has been consistent. You see a life of character. Certain things keep us in the faith and in the ministry. They are not things that we see. when you see people who have been on the cutting edge for a long time, making impact for a long time, check the behind the scenes. It's not a thing, it's not organization, it's not anointing, it is character. Those things are not seen, they are inside, because they are gold. Gold is not seen, it's on the inside. So he said, we must abstain from corrupting influence of the world. Worldly standards. He said, do not be conformed to the pattern of the world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Meaning that before you can have access to God's perfect will for your life, you must not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Your mind must be renewed. The way unbelievers think is not the way that believer must think. Unbelievers' way of relationship is not it shouldn't be believers' way of relationship. So, because there's a spirit of the world and a spirit of the Lord, and if we are influenced by the spirit of the world, it means that we are bending to the corrupt influences of the world, and we are allowing the world to shape our lives. There are many, many ideologies, you know, floating in the air. If you are not stable, you'll be blown about by every wind of doctrine, every wind. There are some people right now who are even teaching that we should not emphasize on holiness. When you talk about holiness in the church, people say you are talking about works. What is works? But who told you we are not supposed to do works in the Bible? Paul told Titus, he said, tell them not to be tired of good works. Tell the young man to be sober-minded. He said, instruct, rebuke with all authority. He was instructing Timothy and Titus. We are not, when we preach purity, we are not preaching legalism. Because of the devil is smart. That's why in the church today, we don't have people, in the church today, we have many people who don't even see the Christian life as a life of purity. No difference between the average believer and the world. Regina was saying that when it comes to things like honesty, you know, and like stealing and all that, there's no difference between the believer and the unbeliever. He said it was a survey that was conducted. Now, the line has been eroded to the extent that you don't see the difference between a Christian and an unbeliever. Because the same way they do things, we do the same way. In fact, even in the church, the same way they do things in the world, we do the same thing in the church. It's not a life of gold. We are building with wood, hay, and stubble. If you want to build a life with gold, let purity be one of your priorities. Purity. Life, anything that will take away your life of purity, you fight it like an enemy, and God will be pleased with you. He said, if you cleanse yourself from the latter, you'll be a vessel unto honor, you'll be my vessel. In Malachi 3:17, he said, these are my jewels. There are some people God calls them my jewels. Let me tell you something. In Ezekiel 44, God was talking about two kinds of priests. He said there were the sons of Zadok, and then there were the other priests. Zadok means righteousness. The other priests, they went astray with Israel and worshipped idols. And God said, but these priests, I will not drive them away, but I will make them gatekeepers in my sanctuary. I will make them gatekeepers, you know, do their work around the temple, but they will not come near me to minister to me the holy things. They will not stand with the fat and the blood and minister the holy things to me. And yet, I will keep letting them be charged of the tabernacle. So sometimes, God may not consider somebody as his priest, but we can hail the person as God's priest. Only God sees. Sometimes, we can help people that, oh, this is God's priest. But in the sight of God, God says disqualified. I will let you continue to minister to the people. You'll be a people priest. because you are ministering, because you were, he said you were standing before them and you were teaching them how to worship idols. So you keep on teaching them. So people will hail you and become people's priest, but he doesn't know you. He doesn't know you. But he said, the sons of Zadok, they will come near me to minister to me. They are my ministers. So God has his ministers and the people's ministers. Certain things I heard this year shook me to the core. When I heard two men of God saying that, one of them saying he didn't make it for the rapture, it was a dream. One of God saying God shook his head and said, second chance. I said, we've got to be very, very, very careful. It's a sign. Why 2016? Both happened in 2016. There are some more that are going to happen. Why? It's a sign. God is speaking to the church. Sometimes we don't see. God speaks to the church through several things. If you have prophetic insight, you understand. This is God speaking to the church. That I'm not going to tolerate certain things anymore. I'm coming back from my church. A church without spot or wrinkle. Without spot means a church of purity. Without wrinkle means a church who is always fresh and young. So God is coming for a church that is pure and a church that is always fresh and young. Young so that he can be in love with a bridegroom. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Are we going to build with gold? Are we going to build with gold? Are we going to make purity our priority? Somebody say, oh, what is the price? There's a price. Do you think that if there is no price for that, God will insist in his word that we should abstain? If there was no price. Sometimes people say that we make a big deal out of sexual sin. Because it is a big deal. You can't make it. It is a big deal. Look, check all the sins in the Bible. And see, let's not be hypocrites. When we talk about sin, people say, oh, you are sin conscious. Nonsense. What is sin consciousness? Sin consciousness is when you are saved, born again, and you still think that the blood of Jesus Christ is not enough to cleanse you. That is sin consciousness. Not when you are working on your salvation. When you don't place trust in the blood to save you. And I said, check the list of sins in the Bible, all the list. You will see fornication, adultery, occupying the first three. Every one of them. From Mark 7, Galatians 5:19, all the sins. Revelation 21:8, all the sins. You see fornication, adultery, occupying the first three. If you don't see it in the first, you see second or third. So it's a big deal. Do you know why Reuben lost his birthright? He lost his birthright because he climbed his father's couch. I'm talking about, you say, oh, we are talking about sin. So what should we talk about? It is time for us to know certain things, realities in the Bible. Paul said, fornication and such sins, let it not be named even once among you as sin, even once. I believe in grace 100%. I tell you, I believe in grace 100%. I know all the corners of grace, all the corners. I can take you to certain corners of grace. You leave this place thinking that, you know, but that is not the balanced teaching on grace. He said, let us receive grace that we may serve God acceptably with fear, godly fear and reverence. Hebrews 12:28. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God, which brings salvation, has appeared unto all men, teaching us that we should deny worldly lusts and ungodliness and live soberly and righteously in this present evil world. That is grace. Okay. Let me finish. Let me continue. I want to finish. Building with gold means taking interest and delight in the things that are hidden. I've touched on the gold in the tabernacle.
What is not seen carries more weight than what is seen. When God is preparing you for glory, do you know why He hides you? He hides you to kill the desire to be seen. That is His whole agenda. Just to kill that desire. Because He wants you to have an audience of one. That is why when the high priest entered the tabernacle, he said, there should be no man. No man should be in the tabernacle. Only the high priest. No man. In the holy place, holy of holies, no man. But in the outer court, you have many men. So when God is taking you deeper, He wants to release a greater glory. He takes you deeper. He hides you. In that darkness, in the holy place, holy of holies, that is when God trains you to put your eyes on Him, not on man. That is the reason for the wilderness experience that we go through sometimes. For God to teach us that He is the source. Because if you can build gold for God, then you must come to a point where you know that He is my source. Elijah said, God, before whom I stand. Not Ahab. God, before whom he was. Elijah. He was standing before Elijah. Standing before Ahab. But he said, God, before whom I stand. Which means, King, I don't even regard your presence. I stand before God. Because if you fear God, you don't fear any man. Do you know why the prophets of old, they were so bold? When God took them through training, God appeared to them. And they saw God. They heard God. They felt God. So they were not afraid of man. They would just speak. Jeremiah will speak and they will put him in the world. He will speak again. Reputation is what people see and know about you. But character is what you know about yourself. And what God knows about you. That is your character. That is what will take you. It's not what people see on the outside. If you want to, listen, if you want to know a man, it's not what you see on the, it's what you don't see. That is why don't bother yourself, because you can't know anybody unless God shows you. You can't. I understand that as an abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and your fruit will show who you are. But I'm saying that to really know somebody, it is what the person is doing when he's alone, when nobody is there. If you want to find out anything about me, you can ask my wife. If I'm a hypocrite, she can tell you. If I come to study and say, I pray for long hours and I don't pray, she can tell you. She will know. If you ask her, she will know. She will tell you. If I'm an honest person, she can tell you. If I'm not, she can. She's the one who can tell. Even she cannot know everything about me. Because she's not God. There are things I know about myself, she may not know. Oh yes. Because she's not God. There are things I know about myself. That's why you must go by what you know about yourself. What people are saying about you. I went to a certain place to preach. When I got there, I decided to go to the gents to urinate. But as I was there, I was at Legon. As I was there, then two guys walked in. When they saw me, they were like, And they knew me from secondary school, SHS days. And they were like, daddy. So I was like, am I? I mean, just like any man would do, I've removed the thing and I'm paying my water bill. You see, but you see, when they saw me, that way, the way they lifted me, you know, like it was like, hey, I see me cry there. I don't even do those things. You know, sometimes when you see people, the way they are dressed, it's as if they don't do certain things. But character is very important, because
That is who you are. So Paul said, we did not preach to you what we know, but who we are. Who we are. He said, we are among you like a nurse, gentle among. That is who we are. We preach who we are, not what we know.
Hallelujah. So, if you want to be with God, take more interest in what is not seen. Build into the spirit first. It will manifest. Let me tell you, true ministry is built into the spirit. It's built into the spirit. What manifests is about 10% of what is inside. Because the works were finished before he began. God doesn't begin anything unless he has finished it. So when you allow God to begin you, it means he has finished with you. And you will go to the end. But when you jump out and don't allow God to finish, you will go and then you will lose gas midway. Okay. Now, somebody said something. He said, the test of maturity. Okay, he's not here, so I will not say. Okay, let me say. I read one of his quotes. It was excellent. He was talking about ministry. Then he said, the test of maturity in a prophet is perhaps in what he does not say rather than what he says. I just chanced upon his quote on Facebook. It was a powerful quote. But he's not here. So he said, the test of maturity in a prophet is perhaps in what he does not say rather than what he says. What I mean is that the desire, you see, what shows that you are building according to God is you desire more to hear him than for people to hear you. I mean, you desire to hear his voice more than for your voice to be heard. You build in the spirit first, then the spirit himself will release and manifest you. There's always a shortcut to the limelight. You can, if you have money, you can always have a shortcut to the limelight. You can go and buy a tie. You can put your pictures on all billboards. That still will not make you. If you have not built in the spirit, hallelujah. Now, let me finish with this. Building with gold means walking in love. Building with gold means walking in love. In fact, for the previous point, you can write Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, verse 5, and verse 16. Where he said, when you are praying, do not pray to be seen. Enter your closet. When you are fasting, do not put on an appearance to be seen. He said, when you are giving alms, don't let your left hand see what your right hand is doing. He said that your father who sees in secret. The emphasis was on secret. It doesn't mean that when people see your prayers, you are hypocrite. No. He was saying that the emphasis should be, you must build in the spirit first. If all the prayers you pray are the ones you pray publicly, it means your prayer life is shallow. If all the prayers you pray are the ones you lead people to pray, then your prayer life is shallow. If all the worship you do is the one you lead people to worship, then your worship life is shallow. I'm standing here because I know you. That's why you know it's for you. I mean, everybody will say it's for you. So I have to stand before you because you lead worship here. So it's not for you. It's for all of us.
Okay, so walking in love means building with God. Because love is the eternal nature of God. He says, if I speak with tongues, do all those things, I have no love, I am nothing. I am nothing means if they put me myself on a scale, I will weigh zero. It is, I've done nothing. If they put what I've done on the scale, maybe I will weigh 20, 30, 40, 50, 100. But if they put me myself on the scale, I'm nothing. Why? Because no love. He said, love is the greatest. There abide three things, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love. I'm telling you, all the men of God who I know and I've followed, some of them who are dead, when they were getting to the end of their ministry, all they were talking about was love. Love. Can I say again? When he was about to die, everything was love, love, love. The reprints, love, love, love. Everything was love. Why? Because when all is said and done, it is love that will abide. It is love. It is love. That's why he said, return to your first love. Then he said, do your first works. Because your first love will produce your first works. It all boils down to love. If I can preach up a storm and you have done something against me, I can't forgive you. I'm nothing. Now, if I see you, I'll say, oh, look at Bishop. Look at how he's preaching a storm. Look at how he's ministering to the sick. Look at how he's prophesying. But in the sight of God, you are nothing. When God looks at you, God is like, I don't see anything. That's what they will say. Have we not done many things in your name? I've preached to many people. You say, you are nothing. You don't have any record here. All you did was wood, hair, stubble, because love is the most important. He said, whether there be prophecies, they will fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall vanish. But love abides forever. We can reduce Christianity to this thing. How do I walk in love towards my fellow brother? That is what shows your Christian life. Not the tongues. People come to you not looking for tongues. They come looking for love. Tongues is good, but tongues doesn't satisfy. Love satisfies, because love is fruit. Tongues is leaves. Jesus saw a fig tree. He went for fruit, not leaves. But he saw only leaves. Then he said, no one will ever eat fruit from you again. He cursed the fig tree because there was no fruit. How many words can satisfy a hungry person? How many words? John says, if you see somebody who is hungry, who is dying of cold, and you say, oh, brother, God be with you, be filled, be warm. He said, those words are empty words because they can't feel the hunger. He said, give you food to eat. He was teaching that love is a practical thing. How many words? It's not about the words. So, if we don't walk in love, what happens is that God doesn't see his reflection in us. What will move God to fight against a believer? I mean, God himself fighting against a believer. He said, if you don't forgive your brethren, that is what I will do to you. If you don't, he said, the one who the master forgave him 1 million Ghana cedis. Then he met a fellow servant who owed him 100 Ghana cedis. They said, give me my money. I'll give you my money. Then the guy said, oh, please, have patience for me. He said, I won't listen to you. Then he put the guy in prison. The master, the fellow servants heard it. That is the angels. You know, angels are our fellow servants. Revelation 19:10. The angels heard it. And they were so furious. Look at this guy. You forgave him 1 million Ghana cedis. And look, he has not forgiven somebody of 100. Then the master said, what? Bring him to me now. Then he said, committed him to the torturers. Put him in prison. Torture him. till he pays me. So sometimes the reason why God himself will fight his own children is because we don't walk in love. He will put us in the prison for the torturers to torture us. So we learn to walk in love. I want to tell you that if you want to be with God, let love be a priority in your life. Let love be a priority in your life. If you summarize all of Jesus' teaching, it was love. Everything was love, love, love. Why? Because that is the most important thing. You can't be with God. If God puts the love nature aside, there is nothing of God in us. He shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. The Holy Ghost shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. So if you put God's nature outside, there is nothing of God in our hearts. Hallelujah. We have to build with gold. If we build with gold, we have rewards here and there. Here, we will live the full, abundant life. God's desire for the Christian is to live the abundant life, a full life. And if we decide to build with gold, all this that I've talked about, if we decide to put them into practice, we will live the abundant life. Peter said, he said, making every effort with all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, perseverance, brotherly kindness, and then to that one, charity. He said, if these things are in you and they abound, they will cause you that you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Christ. But he who falls short of this thing is blind, is short-sighted. It's 2 Peter 1, 5 to about 9. Just about all that. And he started from faith. It ended in love. From faith to love. It always starts from faith, ends in love. Check Romans 5. Started from grace, faith, then went to hope. Hope doesn't make us shame. The love of God started abroad in our heart. So it started from faith, ended in love. Love is the fruit of your faith. It's the end of your faith. Love is the hallmark of our Christian life. The end of our faith. Salvation of our soul. That is love. That is why we can never take it out of our Christian life. The mark of maturity is love. God doesn't rate our rank by what we do, by who we are, whether his nature is in us, the love nature of God is in us. God doesn't rank greatness by power. He ranks greatness by his presence. That is why John the Baptist didn't perform any miracle, and yet he was greater than Elijah, who called fire to come down from heaven, than Moses, who parted the Red Sea. Even though there was nothing like miracle in John the Baptist's life, but in terms of rank, he said he is greater than anybody born of woman. We have been in delusion as a church, and we have placed certain things first, which should be last. And when I talk about delusions in the church, you understand that the way God is seeing us, the way God sees things, different from the way that we see things. When God is looking at the internal, looking at the externals, and we take power over presence. The anointing, listen, the anointing is so beautiful and so enjoyable that you can just be deceived by the anointing. Just be drifting. Benny Hinn said that, he said the reason why Jesus told him that second chance, because he said it got to a point. He was ministering the anointing, but there was no presence. He said it publicly. So if he had died on earth here, we would have met him. I would have given him 100%. Because I love him. I mean, I just love the man. You know, I just like him. I still like him. He was the first one who laid hands on me in a dream. So I owe many things to him in the spirit, and I still follow him in the spirit. I still love him. So I would have given him 100%. But look at what he said. He said, second chance. It means referral. Not even a D. Referral. He said, you have been referred. Come and write it next year. Mercy. I mean, double mercy on my head. I'm telling you. When I heard it, I said, God, have mercy on me. Because I don't know. Because look at this man. And Adeboye to say that I didn't make it for the rapture. I said, eesh. No, I couldn't even say it for some time. I couldn't say it. Honestly, I couldn't for some time. I thought it wasn't public knowledge. So somebody also. I saw it. I couldn't say it for, because it is almost scary for me. So the question is, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? But you see, what is impossible with men? The reason why God gave them these experiences to tell us not to put our eyes on men doesn't mean that they were doing certain things that were not wrong, that were not right. No. God knows how we value them in the world. And God knows that they are humble people. So he can send a message like that through them. They are some men of God. If they dreamt and they didn't go to the rapture, they will never say it. And they will never come publicly to say, I was wrong and change anything. They will never do that. And so God will never give them such experiences. But this was, you know, that they can be a blessing to the body. And so he can let them go through so that when you hear it, you will tremble. Then you will start making amends. Let's be on our feet. Who then can be saved? May God have mercy on us. That we will build with gold. Not with wood, hair, and stubble, but with gold. Go for the gold. Even in a race, those who get the gold are those who go with extra mile. While their colleagues are asleep, they are training. They are going over the basics. Training. Let's pray that God's mercy will locate us. All that I've said, it is the grace of God that will help us. It is not your own. It is a grace, nothing but the grace. It is grace and mercy that will keep us. But we also want the gold. We want to go. We get to a point where God can say, this is my beloved son, who I'm well pleased. Give us grace, oh God. Give us grace. Grant us more grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. That we will build with gold. We'll build with gold. We'll build with gold. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us, oh God, to be motivated by what is not seen, to be excited by the unseen, to dwell on what you dwell on. Let our hearts be broken by what breaks your heart. Let us be excited by what excites you, God. Sometimes we are excited by things that don't excite God. Bible says, when a sinner repents, there is joy in the presence of God. But sometimes it is even not one of the things that makes us happy. May God give us the grace. Go bahana yanda salabata ya balakoshi. Ibrandoro sihataha. Ipahoka handaya. Siprohotaha. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Only you can help us. Help us, Lord. More grace, more grace, more grace. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We are still praying. We are still asking God for grace. That God should anoint our eyes with eye salve. That we will see from his perspective. God should deliver us from delusions of the heart, from self-deception, and from delusion. That God will remove veils from our hearts. That we will see clearly His purpose, see clearly His will, see clearly His kingdom. That what is on God's heart, what is burning on God's heart, will burn on our hearts too. What to God is urgent will become urgent to us. What is not important will not be important to us. Oh, help us, Lord.
Ibrando Shibrahaka Komahata Yandarabasa O Kabahandi Bradoro Sike Go Nayandiri Bahanda Komahata Yanaba Hebranda Kabahanda Kebro Torobahose that He might wash us with the washing of the water by the word. Washing us with the word. Washing us with the word. Bringing us into alignment. Bringing us into alignment. Releasing His word of righteousness to bring us in right standing with Him. Bring us in right alignment with Him. Help us, oh God, to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Help us. Help us to overcome. Help us to put to death the deeds of the body. Help us to live for You. Help us to live for You, O God. Help us to die to ourselves. Help us to die to this world. Help us to die to greed and covetousness. Help us to die to the desire for other things, O God. Help us to die to those things. Do a work on our inside, O God. Do a work. Work Your works, O God, in us. Thoroughly, O God. That we may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Help us, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We give You praise. We give You glory. We give You glory. We give You glory. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Keep us, oh God. You are able to keep us. Keep us. For You are able to keep us. Keep us, oh God. Keep us by Your power. Keep us true. Keep us on the path of destiny, on the path of righteousness. Keep us, oh God. We are praying. Last but one, we are praying for this nation. Bible says, righteousness exalts a nation. We are praying that the hand of God will prevail over all the enemies. All the enemies of progress, enemies of peace, enemies of tranquility. We are enforcing their defeat. Enforcing their defeat. That they will not rise. That God's plan for this country will stand. Let's begin to pray. In the name of Jesus, Ghana will not die. Ghana will live. In the name of Jesus, Ghana will live. The devil's agenda for Ghana will not stand. God's purpose for this nation will prevail. In the name of Jesus, God's purpose of this nation will prevail. This nation will enter into her glory. In the name of Jesus, for there is a move of God springing from this nation. Therefore, the devil's agenda will not come on. We prohibit it. In the name of Jesus, revival is coming to Ghana. Ghana is taking her position as the firstborn of Africa. Ghana is taking a position as the firstborn. And God is throwing light into this nation. Bright light. Bright light. Banishing all darkness, all fear, all confusion. In the name of Jesus, we call it done. Now, I want us to pray this last prayer. I want us to pray for, come, Princess, come. I want us to pray for her sister. I understand she's sick, Gloria. Yeah, so we are using as a point of contact. Bible says he sent his word to heal them and deliver them from all their destruction. So we are sent a word of healing. I understand that it's quite serious, but it's not anything that God cannot do or anything that is over the board. We are agreeing in faith as a body. She's part of us. And we are sending the word of God, declaring that she be made free, demanding her unconditional release and deliverance from that sickness, from that attack. Let me begin to pray. In the name of Jesus, we agree as a body and we send God's word of healing, God's word of deliverance to our sister Gloria. Wherever she is, let that word locate her on her bed. Wherever she is, let the word of God locate her. Let that word begin to penetrate into her system, dividing asunder joints and marrow, healing, releasing healing, bringing healing and a cure. In the name of Jesus, we come against every attack of the enemy. We command that attack to our base right now. We command that attack to go right now. In Jesus' name, we declare that she is free. We declare that she is healed. In the name of Jesus, every transaction that has gone on over her life, we step into it. We make nonsense of it. In Jesus' name, we declare that she's safe. We declare that she's protected. In Jesus' name. Begin to thank God and bless his name. We give you praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated.